Hey, bestie, and welcome to the Living in Sunshine podcast. I'm your host, Maddie Fry, and around here, we are all about encouraging, inspiring, and giving you the tough love that you need to hear to get out there and live as your best self. Each and every Wednesday, you can expect to learn tangible tips to help you find your bigger purpose, be given simple action steps that you can take in order to make progress toward your biggest dreams, and hear how you can purposely pursue joy on the daily. So sit down, grab your favorite drink, and let's have a girl chat. This is the Living in Sunshine podcast. Good morning. Good morning, my dudes, and welcome back to the Living in Sunshine podcast. I am so excited for today's new episode because I have a very special guest on the show. I literally fangirled so hard when this person told me yes to being on the show because I have actually been a huge fan and follower of hers for years. I used to listen to her podcast back when my husband and I lived in New Jersey, and having her on the show now feels like a very full circle moment. I am so excited to have Maria from Growing Joy with Maria, formerly known as Bloom and Grow Radio, here on the show today to talk to us about how we can learn all of the life lessons that we need to know in our houseplants, in nature. And not only that, but she gives us such amazing insight and personal testimony about how you can follow a dream, and that dream can literally change your life when you go all in. If you don't know Maria, she is a plant killer turned happy plant lady, making the world a kinder and greener place by helping everyone successfully care for houseplants while thriving alongside them. In today's episode, we touch on topics such as pivoting in your life dreams, finding joy and purpose in your hobbies, and how we can intentionally care for our mental health by rooting our deeper purpose in other things in nature around us. I loved today's talk with Maria, and I hope that you love it as well. Be sure to share today's episode on your Instagram stories. Tag us both. You can find everything you need to know about Maria down in the show notes. And let's go ahead and dive into my chat with Maria. All right. Good morning, everyone. And welcome back to the Living in Sunshine podcast. Today, I have a very, very special guest. I have Maria from the Bloom and Grow Radio / Growing Joy podcast. I say Bloom and Grow Radio because yes, that was her OG podcast title and one that I actually listened to like way back in 2018. So having her on the show now is like such a full circle moment. Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I love that. Yes, you are an OG listener. I love my OG listeners, the ones who like know the old theme song and Bloom and Grow Radio. Yes. But yes, we rebranded to Growing Joy with Plants in the beginning of last year. But I still call it Bloom and Grow.
I still can't.
My husband and I like still are always calling the business, calling everything Bloom and Grow. So I appreciate that. And I love the name of your podcast, Living in Sunshine, because one of my mantras is be the sunshine.
Oh,
like,
I love
just
that.
Personally, I don't talk about it publicly, but, you know, to let yourself be sunshine. So I just love that.
I love that. Maria, can you please share with people really who you are and what you do? Because I think you have a really unique take and kind of background when it comes to finding joy in the everyday that I think a very specific part of my community is going to just love so, so much. So who are you? What do you do? All those things.
It's so funny. Whenever I give my intros, I'm like, who am I? Like, this, what a wild
journey. Where am I?
Journey.
What am I doing?
Like, wait, I'm a full-time planty podcaster. What? You know, it's just, it's amazing where life takes you when you go with the flow. So I am, like I said, a full-time plant lady podcaster, author of, you know, the Growing Joy with Maria brand. But I never in a million years would have thought that this is what I was doing at this point. I'm so sorry. You might be hearing my little baby parakeet Frankie in the background.
I love it. I love it so much.
He's going to add color and flavor to this conversation. He's been super chatty today.
That's okay.
If you want to talk about joy, get yourself a pet bird. He's been the light of my life for the last year.
But
So I never thought I would be a professional planty podcaster. That's not even a real thing. I still don't know if it's a real thing, even though I do it every day. I wanted to be on Broadway for my whole life. So I came out of the womb singing my whole life, wanted to be a performer, went to school for opera, always wanted to be on Broadway. I grew up in New York. I would always go to Broadway shows. And I'm so lucky that I spent the first decade of my professional life living that dream. So I made it to Broadway in Cats the Musical. I did the international tour of West Side Story. I did multiple national tours of Broadway shows. And I was doing the thing, you know. Yeah. I was really, really lucky singing the high notes around the world. And I was also a really epic plant killer. So because I was so transient with my yeah. job, I couldn't keep a plant alive if someone paid me. Mm-hmm. It was embarrassing. It was kind of a thing that I was known for. And I you know, I really just stuck with cut flowers because, mm-hmm. or if I bought a plant, it was like, well, the plant would die slower than cut flowers would die. So yeah. I'll do that. And things changed when I moved in with my, when I moved in with the boy. Yes. He's my husband now.
Yes.
But shout out to Billy for dealing with my me and my craziness. But we moved in together and I wanted to nest. So mm-hmm. I thought, okay, I'll take one more shot at plants. Mm-hmm. And this time the difference is that I'm going to Google my way to not being a plant killer anymore. Mm. And through Googling, mm-hmm. I found amazing blogs and online resources with like how to care for plants, because when I say plant killer, genuinely, whoever's listening, if you have any shame around weird stuff you've done to your plants or like things, you know, plants you've killed, I did the weirdest, like I thought you could only water your plants at night. I thought watering plants was by spritzing the leaves. Like I did everything wrong when I was starting out. It was mm-hmm. not intuitive for me. So I Googled my way through it. I like to say I came for the aesthetic, but I stayed for the wellness because I thought that, you know, by bringing some houseplants indoors and growing a few herbs on my balcony, that it would just make my home look pretty. Like when you look at, you know, CB2 and Anthropology and all these beautiful design magazines, Arc Digest, you see plants in all the rooms. And so I was like, I need plants to make my rooms look beautiful. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't realize is that these plants ended up being my greatest, most affordable wellness tool that I had in my toolkit. I'm a self-help junkie. I've struggled with clinical depression my entire adult life. I have done every yoga retreat, every juice cleanse, every wellness modality. Like I'll try it all. Yeah. You know, I've been I've been hypnotized, you know, all of it. And these just like little potted plants were the things that brought me the most intuitive, natural joy. I not only just like felt so empowered that I was able to go from killing them to caring for them successfully. So like when they grew new leaves and when they bloomed, it made me so happy to see and it made me feel so empowered. But I also started seeing my life reflected back in them. So, you know, now I say I dare someone to find a scenario happening in life that I cannot find a plant life parallel to. I think if you open your eyes to the world of nature, you can learn all your lessons in a couple of potted plants. And I certainly experienced that. And, you know, none of my other friends were plant people. And all I wanted to do was talk to them about my tomato plant and no one wanted to listen to me, which was a bummer. I was on Broadway at the time in Cats the Musical and my my contract at Cats was closing, so I was going to be unemployed. Mm-hmm. And I loved listening to podcasts. So this was in 2017. So podcasts were a thing, but they weren't like a crazy thing the way they are now.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? My job is ending. I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be unemployed. And I kept searching for houseplant podcasts on the podcast players and I couldn't find any.
Yeah.
I could find like a houseplant episode on a garden podcast, but I couldn't find something completely houseplant focused.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to do a 10 episode podcast about houseplants. I know this is crazy. I know my mom might be the only person to listen to it, but this is going to be the thing that helps me stay sane in my unemployment and like a gift of an act of service to other, you know, urban millennials like myself who plant care isn't intuitive for us anymore because we're so disconnected to nature.
Yes.
And through, you know, I can go into the crazy details or just say like through a crazy, you know, path of twists and turns. Especially in the pandemic when I lost my performing job because all the theaters closed down, I was able to kind of follow where the energy flowed and turn this planty podcast into a full-time job and got a book deal and, you know, travel around the country speaking at conferences. And I can't believe I do what I do now, but it's so much fun. And if you want to talk about joy, you know, Growing Joy, the name of my brand, I've really found that reconnecting to nature is a really wonderful opportunity to reconnect with yourself. And when you carve that plant-based time out for yourself, you really do grow more joy in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that so much. So can you share with us that transition from going from Broadway, singing, stardom, all of these things, to like committing even just the littlest, slightest bit to something, in my opinion, is so not in the same realm of space, zone of genius at all. Broadway, plants, two totally different things. Like, how did you, is that like, was it your background of being like, I cannot keep a plant longer than like 30 minutes. I touch it and it immediately dies. Was that the thing that like made you want to get into this? Or was there some other piece of it where you, you know, knew that you were going to be unemployed and you're like, I need to refocus myself, give myself something productive to do. Like, how did you make that transition to from one to the other? I guess is my question.
Do you mean the podcast or do you mean the hobby of plants?
Both, like the whole making that transition.
Yeah. So the hobby of plants truly was nesting. Like I was nesting with my boyfriend. It was the first time I lived with a boy. It was the first time I really had a home because as a performer, you're so transient. Mm-hmm. Like before I lived with my husband, I lived with five roommates. You know, we lived in a five bedroom apartment. My rent was like $800 a month because, you know, we were all sharing one kitchen, you know.
Yeah.
So it was the first thing I really wanted to have like a connection with, and I wanted to make our space like really cozy. My husband and I also cook a lot. So the idea of having an herb garden and a tomato plant on our balcony was so exciting. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm an Aries, Enneagram 3, Human Design 6-2. Are you?
Oh my gosh, me too. I'm also an Aries, Enneagram 3.
Yeah. Enneagram 3, Wing 4. And then the biggest personality test I've taken that's like completely rocked my world is Human Design. So I'm a 6-2 projector. But anyway, every personality test I take, it's like, yeah you're super intense. And so, you know, I hyperfixate on hobbies and when I do something, I really do it. So yeah, exactly. So that's, so that was that. Like, so I literally went from zero plants to 60 plants in 3 months. I say I went to zero to 60 literally and figuratively. I find that this is actually a very normal experience for a lot of plant collectors because you get so excited. Mm-hmm. Like the joy level that gets unlocked in your heart when you start successfully caring for plants is so intense that you just want to keep collecting more. Mm-hmm. And in my book, I actually have a chapter on the dark side of plant care because a lot of people in their first year of caring for plants will get too many plants and then they'll get overwhelmed and then they'll kill all those plants and then they write it off. But it's really just that like – it's like, you know, you taste the best French fry in the world and then you eat so many French fries and then your stomach hurts a little bit. But it's like, if you just ate a few less, maybe you'd feel better.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of the same story with the podcast. I mean, I literally Googled my way through the podcast too. So I was babysitting on the side and like when the baby would go to bed, I would just watch YouTube videos about like how to edit a podcast on GarageBand, how to make a podcast, you know, just like how to do it. I mean, now there are so many courses on podcasting, but there wasn't back then. There were just like a couple of YouTube videos on it. So, I'm just, I don't know. I just hyperfixate and I'm intense. And when I get an inclination to do something, it's kind of like I have to do it or it's going to be physically uncomfortable. And it kind of was like that. It was physically uncomfortable for me to not have this podcast until it was out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I thought it was only going to be 10 episodes, but because the downloads kept doubling, I just was like, and I didn't book another Broadway show. So I thought I would book another Broadway show much faster than I actually did. So it was, you know, I had more time. Mm-hmm. So I think, but I actually think too, in the performing arts, we're very sensitive people because we're trained. I mean, it's literally our life's training to step into other people's worlds, to be empathetic, to understand how other people think and feel, because that's who we're playing in characters. And I think to be a plant person, you're also very sensitive because I like to say like plants are green, like little pots of aliens, like looking at you. They can't communicate with you.
Yeah.
They can't speak. They can't tell you, hey, I'm thirsty. Can you please water me? They're not a dog or a cat where they could bark or meow at you. Mm-hmm. You need to cultivate this like extra level of sensitivity with plants that a pet won't do for you. You know, my bird can start squawking and I know that it wants to play with me or it needs more food or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
My plants aren't going to do that. They're just going to like wilt and die one day, you know? So I think there's a level of sensitivity that definitely kind of correlates between the two. It's interesting. I've seen a lot of performers, like a lot of people in my performing sphere have gotten into plants.
Yeah.
And I like to think I'm part of that, but also I think I get it. I get that the plants as a hobby would make sense for performers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to touch. Are you okay if we touch on, you mentioned having clinical depression. Do you mind if we chat about how plants and having a joyful hobby, having a passion like this has helped you in that? Mental health is such a huge thing. I am a clinically diagnosed human with anxiety, high levels of anxiety. I go to therapy every day. I was medicated at one point for my anxiety. So mental health and the conversation of that is a huge piece of the Living in Sunshine space. So could you share with us, as much as you want to, of course, how having this passion, this focus has really helped to serve and support your own mental health and what that's kind of looked like over the last several years at this point, which is amazing, since picking this up back in 2018, 2019?
Yeah, I know it's crazy to think that like my last depressive episode was in 2021 and that was like 3 years ago. I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's twofold with wellness and plants. I think plants are amazing tools in so many different capacities, but like the two big ones that I see are they're mirrors in two different ways. So something that I write about in my book was my plants were actually what helped me realize that I was in another depressive episode and I needed to get help. I think that your garden or your houseplant collection is a reflection of your mental state. So if you're doing well, you're probably caring for your plants. You're probably tuned in. They're thriving. I had a situation where I had a lot of rough things happen to me personally. I was also writing my book. It was a very stressful time. It was also mid-pandemic. I just canceled my wedding. They were just for COVID. I still got married. I was like, it was a shit show. And I looked around and all my plants were so miserable. They were so wilted. They were so unhappy. I mean, I had killed a few of them. And at this point, I'd been podcasting for 5 years, right? Like I knew how to care for these plants and I just neglected them, right?
Yeah.
And in this like aha moment that I had, I was like, oh my God, I'm these plants. Like I'm wilted. I'm suffering. I'm, you know, kind of dying on the vine.
Yeah.
And it was seeing my entire plant collection struggling that was truly the aha moment for me to be like, okay, got to call my therapist, got to get back in therapy, got to call my psychiatrist, got to go back to the gym. You know, I was like, wow, I haven't gone to the gym in 6 months. I haven't called any of my friends. I've totally isolated myself. I'd moved to the woods as well. So, you know, at one, so they're a mirror in that capacity. Like I think, you know, I had a friend who I gardened with who got diagnosed with cancer in the middle of her gardening season. And I went to go see her garden when she was in chemo and her garden was like totally a wreck. And she just said, you know, I fell apart. And so my garden fell apart. But her garden was incredible when we were gardening together. You know, so I do think that plants are just a beautiful way to check in with yourself, even on like a smaller scale, you know. When you water your plants, like asking yourself, have I watered myself today? Like, am I dehydrated? Have I drank? But also, you know, am I watering those areas of my life that's really important to me? Did I go to therapy? Did I have a meaningful conversation with a friend on the phone? Did I do all of those things? It's just this like physical, tactical way to interact with your thoughts that doesn't have to be like strict meditation. Cause I think for a lot of people, you know, meditation is like the best thing you can do for your mental health, but it's really intimidating for a lot of people. A lot of people don't want to sit on a pillow and chant Om, but they'll go around and they'll water their plants, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's one side of it. The other thing I think is just being in the presence. Well, okay, actually there's three sides. So that's one side of it. Now the second side of it is, you know, I said, you know, you can really see a lot of your life lessons and a lot of your life parallels in plants. If I say, if you tune yourself to their frequency.
Yeah.
And I think with depression and anxiety, a lot of it gets caught up in feeling stuck or ruminating about the future or, you know, ruminating about the past. I had a wonderful therapist once told me that thinking about the future is anxiety. Thinking about the past is depression.
Yep.
And you want to try and stay in the present. And, you know, in the pandemic, I'd lost my job as a performer. I was living in New York City. Talk about traumatic. Like living in New York City in the pandemic was the most traumatic thing ever. Like when I think back on it. And I had to make a post about this green wall that I had in my apartment. And I was looking back for old photos of the green wall to show the growth. And I had no idea how much this thing had grown in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't notice the growth when you're looking at it every day. But when you look back at photos, yep. you're like, oh my God, this thing has grown yeah. so much.
Yes.
And it was like, right. Although I feel stagnant in this moment as well, when I'm trapped in my house in this pandemic, I am also still growing, right? Like when you see these plants blooming, when you see them going dormant, when you see them growing a new leaf, like it's just this reminder that we're part of something bigger, mm-hmm. which I think when you struggle with some sort of mental health issue,
yeah.
you get so insular, like so focused on your own shit. And you like, yeah. I don't know, I call it spinning out. Like you just yes. spin out in your own worry.
Yep.
And sometimes it's just nice to like be reminded that the tree outside your, you know, apartment has yeah. been around long before you and will yep. probably be around long after you. And yeah. that's a very beautiful part.
It's very grounding. Yeah. It's very, grounding. Very grounding. It's like, this is a real thing. This plant, yeah. this tree, this whatever, this is real. I yeah. can focus on that. I can ground myself yeah. in this thing that is real. I love that. Yeah.
And it takes you back to the simplicity of it all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we humans with our, you know, everybody calls them like our monkey minds. Like we make yes. things so complicated, but it's pretty simple. Like if yeah. you, if yeah. you let yourself.
Yeah.
And then also for people struggling with mental health, something that might be interesting is this concept called biophilia. Mm. So biophilia is this concept that's been, you know, written about by lots of scientists that states that basically as humans, we're intrinsically designed to recognize other life forms and also have nervous system regulation around mm. other living things. Mm-hmm. Nervous system regulation, such a hot topic right now.
Yes.
And, you know, plants are living things and we have so many things in common with plants. We have a vascular system. We have DNA. You know, we grow. We're living right? Like we're yeah, living yeah. things. And so there's also something like completely beyond your mind that just being in the presence of plants mm-hmm. makes you happier, makes you relaxed, reduces cortisol. You know, there's all yeah. sorts of studies that talk about all the amazing things for your body that happen when you're in nature, but like there's a reason why everybody says my garden is my therapy. There's a reason why, you know, people feel relaxed when they go camping or when they go for a walk in mm-hmm. the local park. It's this intrinsic thing that is actually kind of hard to describe.
Yeah.
But feels so good when you allow yourself
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I love that. So I am curious when you kind of jumped into the podcast, you learned how to do this, you started to post on social media and create this community. What did the people in your life who only ever knew you as a performer think? Because I feel so often in our community, this Living in Sunshine community, there are so many women who are so passionate about something, but they're also so fearful mm. about what other people will say or do or act or feel or whatever. So could you share with us, like, what did the people in your life, what was their reaction when you're like, I'm starting a podcast or I started a podcast and this is what I'm doing now?
Maddie, congratulations to you. I've been on a million podcasts and no one yeah. has asked me this question before. I love that.
My work here is done.
What a great question, because I feel like I have so much to say about it.
Yeah.
I had such imposter syndrome when I launched the podcast.
So real.
I didn't tell my agent. When wow. I launched the podcast, when I got a book deal with one of the top five publishers in the country,
yeah.
I didn't tell my agent, my musical theater agent, because I didn't want him to think that I wasn't interested in performing anymore. Wow. I now have stepped out of the performing world, but there yeah. were multiple years where I was kind of straddling both.
Yeah.
And I didn't want my agent to know anything about it. I didn't want people in the acting world to know, because I didn't want them to think that I was taking anything else as seriously as I was taking performing.
Wow.
Even though I was having so much more fun doing yeah. the podcast than I was at auditions.
Isn't that how it's so funny how that happens?
It was so weird. And I remember telling, I think when I got my idea, especially because there were no podcasts mm-hmm. like it on the market now, yeah. I feel like now there are multiple houseplant podcasts. So yeah. it's like, okay, fine, do that.
Yeah.
But I think when I told people originally, I think they were like, okay, that I guess. Like,
yeah.
I remember a friend being like, that sounds interesting. I mean, I don't know how many people will listen to a houseplant podcast, but yeah. like try it.
Yeah.
But I think more importantly, I just had this what I call an intuitive whisper mm-hmm. that was just like, you must do this. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care how stupid this looks. So you must do this. Yeah. You have to do this. And I'm so thankful that I listened to her, because I do think there were definitely people in the acting community that were like, why would you go waste your time on something that has nothing to do with acting? Why would you spend time doing that when you could spend time learning musicals, or you could spend time reading plays, or you could spend time auditioning or networking?
Yeah.
And it's so funny because my life is so I had so many dreams as a performer that are now fulfilled as a podcaster. I just could have never like seen it in the future. So I think, you know, I wish, you know, I spent my first 4 or 5 years like keeping these two lives kind of separate. I had two Instagrams. I had a personal Instagram. I had, you know, where I posted my acting stuff. And then I had my podcast Instagram, which is so funny because my podcast Instagram had so many more followers than my personal Instagram. I mean, it's really interesting. I definitely had a few people really question me, and maybe even some naysayers in the beginning, but that intuitive whisper was so strong and I just listened to her, and I feel like all the good things that come out of my life come from her, like being like, no. And I don't know if she's my intuition or if she's, you know, whoever she is, I'm thankful to her. And for those in that position, I would say the funny part is now I show up wholeheartedly on my podcast channel. I don't even look at my personal account anymore.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the coolest part about me. Like it's kind of, it's fun that I'm this performer that now is a Planty podcaster, and I have all these facets to myself, and no one else in the world is like me. Like there's not one other person that has my story, that has my, you know, windy road to what I do, that has my relationship, that has my skill set. And that's like the what I lead with now, right?
Yeah.
And it's something that I had so much shame around. And I'm very curious if I had healed that shame earlier, if maybe I would have seen more success earlier on, because I wasn't like straddling these two worlds where I was kind of inauthentic in both of them, because I wasn't really fully in either of them.
Yeah.
And it was exhausting. It was exhausting,
I'm sure.
I sleep much better now, I think, than I did before.
So then that begs the question, what was that thing that got you to be like, I need to step into this identity fully, unashamed, fully healed, not worrying about what other people think about me? How did you do that? Because I think it's one of those things that's a big thing people struggle with, is they struggle to get started, but then they get started and they get to where they want to go. And then they're like, I don't know if I can commit to this all the way. Yeah. How did you break through that kind of straddling both sides?
Yeah. Oh my God. Another great question, Maddie. I think, you know, you say fully healed. I think the realization I'm coming to is that you're never fully healed. Like you're always a work in progress.
Love
and
that.
The minute you arrive anywhere is the minute the new idea comes in.
Yes.
Like I'm already thinking about what the next chapter iteration of this brand is. I rebranded last year and I'm already like, oh, but in 5 years, like this is going to be something even different, you know?
Yes.
And so I think what I'm trying to play with lately is, what if I never arrive? And what if I'm just always evolving? Because I think a lot of people say, I'm going to launch this podcast and that's going to be the thing that makes me feel good about myself, makes me launch something. I felt like that about my book. I'm going to come out with my first book and it's going to be a bestseller and I'm going to blow up and I'm going to be on the news and it's going to be amazing. And I was on the news and, you know, my book did come out and a lot of people have read it, but like it did not save me. It did not heal me. Mm. Like that, you know, all the positive feedback I got back from the book, like, until I worked on my own shit, it didn't really matter. So I do feel like a lot of people look at these external milestones as the thing. Everything's going to be okay if I make this much money, do this, get out of this job, go into this thing, have this many kids, whatever it is. What I think really switched for me was doing the inner work, being in the mental health space, also working on my sister wound and like getting into female spaces and finding women that I can really trust to be fully myself and lift up. I have a lot of residual, if I'm fully myself, I'm not going to be loved fears, you know? So I spent a lot of time like digging deep there, like a lot of inner child healing stuff. And I think once I was able to focus on like my own self-worth, my own self-love, being able to even, like, for me, it's such a win for me to even just say, I think what I said a couple of minutes ago was like, that's kind of the coolest part about me is these things.
Yeah.
I would have never said that 2 years ago. Like, I would have never admitted that I think I'm cool or that I think I'm a nice, cool, you know?
Yes.
Because we feel like as women, we have to fawn and be like, no, it's not really, I'm not really that interesting. I'm not really that successful. I'm not really any of these things.
Yeah.
But like, fuck that.
Yeah, literally.
I worked really hard to get where I am.
Yes. I all the time in this space, I'm like, please tell yourself I'm the coolest person I know. All the time. Say it to yourself every day. I'm the coolest person I know.
I'm the coolest person I know.
Say it out loud. Husband, say it to your friend. Yes.
My husband jokes. I mean, last year, I still do it now, but last year when I was really working on this, like, I was just like, I am so amazing. I'm so amazing. It's crazy how amazing I am. You know, like five times a day because I feel like I just had to. And I started saying it almost as a joke.
Yes.
But I started believing it. And, you know, I feel like sometimes you have to kind of say it as a joke to yourself because you're like, this is so cringy.
Yes.
And then you start to believe it and then it's really fun. And then, like, you know, I've gotten family members to start saying it and I've noticed shifts in them. And, but I really think you're only going to get the amount of success that you believe you should have. Mm-hmm. And as someone who really suffered from really low self-esteem for a lot of my life, particularly as a performer where you're just like told, you're just rejected every single day, sometimes twice a day. I really had to build that self-confidence back up. And now also, you know, just we're so much stronger than we think. And we're so much, I think we can achieve a lot more than we think. So sometimes, you know, just like saying yes to the opportunities that come your way.
Yeah.
And faking it till you make it.
Yeah.
You know, when I started my podcast, I made, they weren't fake, but I like made these business cards on like Zill, you know, whatever that website was that said like Bloom and Grow Radio Podcast and it had like a fake logo on it. And I like brought them to plant swaps and just gave them out. Like I was a real thing. I hadn't even recorded a podcast yet, you know, but sometimes you have to just like pretend until it's real and then it's real. And you're like, whoa, I did this. That's wild.
I love that. Something that I want to just say here, I've talked about this on the podcast before, but something I want you to start doing is to start a I'm the coolest person I know list. If you don't already have this, like literally whenever you do something that you think is really cool, or if you were to see someone on Instagram or your friend or your partner, whoever doing, and you would say, oh my God, that's so cool. When you do those types of things in your own life, like literally write it down and keep a growing list.
Yeah,
and then you can go back and you can reference it. I've done it for 2 years now and it's with the self-confidence and the self-belief and doing things that I never thought I would be able to do. It's so cool. Kind of like your green wall. It's so cool to like go back and be like, I've done all of these things. And I call it, I'm so cool. Like I'm the coolest person I know list because it's like, if your friend was going to do it and you would tell your friend, oh my God, that's so cool. Then you need to celebrate that. Yeah.
And you should celebrate it. Yeah. Wait, do you curse on this podcast?
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah.
I've cursed because my coach in this women's circle that I'm a part of, she's like, sometimes you just have to remind yourself who the fuck you are.
Oh, amen. Like, I'm the fucking coolest person I know.
I'm the coolest person. Like, I had a moment a couple weeks ago where I went spiraling. Oh, my God, you're such a failure. You suck. You don't have a business. No one listens to your podcast.
We all have those moments.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, of course. They never go away. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, I got to remind myself who the fuck I am. Yep. And I literally just like did, you know, your list. I love the idea of keeping it in my notes app, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it is. It's like everyone is so interesting. And it's not the fact that my podcast has 3 million downloads that makes me so cool. It's that this morning I made the greatest latte.
Yes.
Like I made the greatest coffee drink for myself this morning and it made me so happy all day and that makes me the coolest person I know.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, 100%. I love that. Okay, so something you've mentioned a few times that I would love to ask you a question about is being in tune, being intuitive, being aware. Mm. And I see all the time, and this is a product of our society, of that the hustle culture, the instant gratification, people struggle to be in tune and to listen to that inner voice and to hear it in the first place. Mm-hmm. So what have you done to be in tune both with yourself, with your inner voice that you mentioned, and also with your plants, right? Because I feel like that's a big thing. What have you done and how did you get there? Because for so many people, that's really tough to do because we're moving too fast. You know what I mean?
Great question. Oh my gosh. Another really good. Wow. I'm hyped in this interview.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. So to me, the answer was plants because before I went in my plant killer days, I got up with my phone in the morning and I had coffee with my phone. So I had coffee with Instagram or YouTube or Netflix or whatever. Right.
Yep.
All of a sudden, when I started caring for plants, I'd leave my phone in my bedroom and I'd come and have coffee with my plants in the morning. And I'd sit on my little balcony and I'd watch dew drop from a basil leaf and I'd smell my chives and I'd, you know, write a gratitude list for a few things I was thankful for. And sometimes I didn't do anything, right? Sometimes I just zoned out looking at the dew, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I was silly and I would like sing songs to my herbs or whatever. But I just did whatever rose for me that day. Some days I would cry if I was like having a tough day. Mm-hmm. And I felt like plants gave me space for the first time in my adult life. It is so easy for us to give our agency away the minute we wake up in the morning and not get it back before we go to sleep because we wake up with our phones and then if you're like me, you binge Netflix until you fall asleep and then Netflix is playing as you sleep and then your husband has to come in and turn it off, right? So it's so easy not to have a thought. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, you used to get great ideas in the bathroom, like in the shower or on the toilet. And now we don't even shower or go to the bathroom without our phone. Like we take our phones in the bathroom with us. And it's kind of gross that I say that, but it's real. It's so indicative. It's so indicative of the state of our society right now.
Yeah.
And when you're with your plants, you don't want to be on your phone. Maybe you want to take a picture of one of your plants to put it on your Instagram, but you don't want to be on your phone. Maybe you play some music, but it's this interactive, slow time that when you're caring for your plants, you're actually caring for yourself. You're clearing your mind. You're engaging with plants. You're basically having a moving meditation. And in those moments, that's where you're going to kind of clear the field to even be able to connect with your own intuition, right?
Yeah.
Because in able to connect with your intuition, you have to find clear space. And once again, a lot of people don't want to spend 20 minutes a day meditating. I hear you. Spend 10 minutes with your plants. And when you do that over an extended period of time, it's like a muscle that you build. And I like to say it's like, I say you look at a plant before you look at a screen in the morning. That's like the first chapter of my book. It's a practice that I preach.
You know,
it's like putting your armor on for the day. It's like making some space for yourself to be with yourself. You know, you can ask. I used to write questions to my intuition all the time. So I would say, you know, why am I really struggling with this? And then I would just like I would, why am I struggling with this? Or like, you know, why did this person trigger me? And then I would just kind of free write whatever the answer was. And that was my intuition coming through, like answering me. But you need to clear the field in order to even access that inner knowing. So I do think it's something that can be cultivated, but it is a muscle that's extremely weak for most people and that needs to be developed. And for me, the least intimidating, most affordable way to do that is through, you know, tending a small garden or tending a small collection of plants. And then, you know, I think in order to connect, so clearing the field and then also connecting with yourself, like little exercises, like, you know, writing those questions to your intuition, writing a gratitude list, asking yourself, like, what do I really want for breakfast today? What do I really want in my coffee drink today? Like not going, you know, identifying where you're going through the motions in your life and then really figuring out, okay, how can I have some agency? If you want to talk about joy, I'll go back to this coffee today, but you know, I make my coffee the same way. And then I got this new fancy honey. And so I made my coffee special today. And it was like, so fun.
The best thing. Yes.
Best thing. Yeah. And it just made me happy all day. It's so silly, but I could have just like gone through the motions and did my normal coffee this morning. But it's like, how can I connect with myself a little bit more in any opportunity? And I think with plants, connecting with plants, engaging your five senses. So, you know, we're
big.
Like
we don't do that often enough anymore, do we?
We don't. And you know, say you're watering a house plant. You could just jam your finger into the soil, pull it out to see if the soil needs water, and then water the plant
and
while you're on your phone and walk away.
Yeah.
Or you can gently stick your finger in the soil, see what the temperature of the soil is. Cooler soil tends to be wetter than dry than hot soil, which is dry. Mm-hmm. Pull it out. Maybe you smell, you know, the soil. There's all sorts of cool mycorrhizae in the soil that, you know, humans are programmed to detect.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're growing a scented plant, you know, you could mm-hmm. smell that geranium or a Hoya yeah. bloom or whatever. So that's touch, feel. If you're growing edible food, you could, you know, we used to grow chives that we'd put in our scrambled eggs in the morning. Yeah. That was a really cool experience. Also, you know, nature sounds. We've been blessed by listening to Frankie, my budgie's bird song for this entire conversation.
Love it. Yeah.
But bird song also, like nature sound, like yeah. can you play maybe nature sounds as you're caring for your plants?
Yeah.
But how many of your senses can you indulge?
Yeah.
Because we shut ourselves off to a lot of that,
we
right?
do.
So
yeah.
that, and then also like, what are all the little things in one pot that I could notice? Mm. What does the variegation on this leaf look like versus this leaf?
Yeah.
What pattern do the leaves grow on the stem? Are they, you know, opposite each other? Are they all on one side? Are they all on the other side? How many stems does the plant have? Like, you can go on and on, but it's just that subtle noticing of things
yep.
that you wouldn't notice if you just kind of were going about your day.
Yeah.
That's going to like cultivate that muscle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Okay. One last question for you. Mm-hmm. For all of our beginner plant mamas out there,
mm-hmm.
plenty people, what would you say? What are three plants that anyone can start with mm. that aren't super expensive, super high maintenance, anything like that? Easy ways. Let's give them a gateway plant to get into this space if this is something that they've wanted to do, but they've been really overwhelmed. Like, what would your top three start here plants be?
Yeah, I love this question. I actually intentionally don't have an answer, but I'll explain myself.
I love that.
So I don't think there's one blanket starter plant.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are right plants for different types of plant parent personalities.
Yeah.
So now I've spoken to like thousands of members of my community. I've noticed these different archetypes of different plant parents. Classic, because I've taken every personality test ever in the whole world and I'm obsessed yep. with them. So you know, if you're someone, so I'll give you I'll give you three different plant parent personalities.
I love it.
And suggested plants for each one. And also, this is a free test on my website. You can go to growingjoywithmaria.com and take the test. It takes 2 minutes. It's free.
Love it.
So fun.
Yes.
And you'll get a list of plants and podcasts and all sorts of stuff to nurture you with.
I love it.
Okay. So if you're someone who travels a lot, maybe you travel for work, maybe you're a parent to young kids, mm-hmm. maybe you, like you're busy, like you like yeah. plants, you know that you want plants in your life, but you don't have every minute of the day to be tending to them, then you're what I like to call a low key plant parent,
mm.
low maintenance plant parent. And so these are the plants that usually get, you know, quoted as like easy care, like can't kill plants, but mm-hmm. you can kill any plant. Yeah. I killed most plants, so I don't like saying that. So usually plants that are drought tolerant in case you leave for 2 weeks and you got to come back and you don't want to like hire a plant sitter. So these mm-hmm. are like monsteras, philodendron, mm-hmm. pothos. If you like a bookshelf moment with like a plant tumbling down your bookshelf, like a pothos yep. is a great choice for that.
Yep.
Monstera, great, you know, floor plant that look really structural and architectural and beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah. Then if you are someone who maybe is coming to plant care for a more mindfulness, mental health, mm-hmm. you know, tool, and maybe you do want to engage with your plants on a daily basis, then I would say, you know, you would overwater that monstera or that
yes.
philodendron or that pothos, right? Like if you engaged with that pothos every day, that pothos is going to turn yellow and rot in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to be watered and taken care of. They're, you know, they want to be on their own.
Yep.
But mindful plant parents, you know, that's the name of that personality, would love orchids or air plants that you could spritz every day, or higher, you know, humidity plants like ferns or calathea or I'm looking at my plant collection. Alocasia are also great. But any type of plant that you can, you know, water more frequently, that you can maybe do leaf maintenance mm-hmm. or, you know, pruning, like might be interesting.
Yeah.
And then So those are kind of opposites, right? So the low-key plant parent would kill any of those starter plants for the mindful plant. Like, they'd kill an orchid so fast.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And then I also think, you know, urban farmer is a plant parent I don't talk about a lot, but they're someone who wants to grow plants for food. Like, they want to grow plants for sustainability.
Yeah.
And that's where I would say, like, you can grow lettuce on your windowsill, and lettuce grows so fast. You plant it and you're like eating it a couple weeks after you plant it. So it's a really quick win.
Yeah.
Micro dwarf tomatoes, if you live in an apartment, they're tiny tomato plants that grow maybe six inches.
Yeah.
They're adorable. You know, some I've grown some micro dwarf tomatoes that are the size of a penny. Like, they're so little and cute.
Yeah.
And you can pick a few just to put on your salad every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, they're really nice. You could grow hydroponically too if you're in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I have a huge hydroponic tower that grows all my lettuce and herbs for me in the winter because I live in upstate New York. Those are three different, but I have other ones. If you don't feel seen in the three that I just broke down, take the quiz on my website and you'll get something good.
I love that. Okay, so this is the last question that we have for today. And this is a question I ask every single guest on my show. Sometimes people need to take a second to think about it. So if you need to take a second to think about it, that's fine.
Okay.
If someone is listening right now and they're saying, oh my gosh, I love this girl, I want to be just like her, what would you tell them?
You can do it. I love this girl, I want to be just like her. Well, I would say you should probably get a few plants. If you want to be just like me, you should probably start with getting a few plants for your collection.
I love that.
You should probably get into self-development. Mm-hmm. But something that I'm playing with is, I would say, work on your self-confidence and your self-love, because what I'm finding is I'm finding more and more joy in my life the more and more I get comfortable with exactly who I am and really standing for who I am, not wanting to change myself. If I get feedback from someone, you know, if I have a hater or if I have feedback from someone saying, oh, we didn't like it when you did this, me being like, that's fine. I loved it. I had so much fun doing that. I think there need to be more women in the world that are joyful, lift each other up, connect with other women in over positivity instead of negativity, right?
Yes.
Like, that you keep turning towards the light, that you act like a plant, right? And keep looking for the light. But I think, you know, really not being ashamed of your joy and trying to live a joyful life. Because I think as women, I'm going to go out on a ledge and assume that most of your listeners are women.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
You know, we're conditioned to stay small. We're conditioned to not ask for too much. We're conditioned to, you know, not desire like too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm over that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm over
here. We're done.
I'm like, how good can it get, universe? Like, show me, how good can this get? How much fun can I have, you know, while building a business? How can I build this business in a fun and flowy way? How can I have, you know, female friendships that are super fulfilling and you know, a marriage that's really fun. So I think trying to center that, that was kind of a rambly answer, but
I loved it.
I hope that helps. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it so much.
But also Maria, plants.
Yeah. All the plants. Maria, thank you so much for being on the show. I had the best time. Can you please share all of the spaces where people can go and find you, fall in love with you, fall in love with plants, all of those things?
Yes. Come fall in love with plants. So I'm Growing Joy with Maria on all socials, growingjoywithmaria.com. That's where my free quiz is. And we have all sorts of free plant, you know, plant care resources. And also, if you like plants or if you like wellness and plants, because I have a lot of episodes on how to use plants to live a happier life, you can come hang out with me at Growing Joy with Plants podcast, right? If you're listening to this podcast, I have a feeling you're going to like my podcast too. So go over to your, you know, podcast player and subscribe to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast too, because we have so many amazing episodes on both how to basically any plant you want to care for. I'm going to go ahead and guess we already have an episode devoted to it, but also a lot of cool episodes on stress relief in houseplants, you know, horticultural therapy, like all sorts of really cool conversations with really cool people.
I love that. I love that. Maria, thank you so much for being here. I so appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Girlfriend, thank you so much for listening to today's new episode. If you loved it, please send it to a friend, share it on Instagram, and tag me so I can see, and consider leaving the show a rating or a review. Ratings and reviews are kind of like sharing or liking a post on Instagram, and they really help the show grow and reach new women just like you. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new episode. And until next week, I am sending you all the sunshine, good vibes, and I hope you make it a great day.